Good evening. I'm Billy. For anybody who doesn't know me, I usually lead worship, but today I'm putting a different hat on. So I'm going to talk to you today, and my remit, as you will read it in the pink slip, is holding on to the faith. That's my remit. Now then, people usually attend week-long seminars to hit this topic, and we're not going to do that tonight because I've got 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So please don't expect this to be exhaustive. This is going to be a dip, a dipping of the toe in the sea. And I want from this point for you to go off and just think about what we've said tonight. So like I say, there will be big bits I've missed out. Please don't come back at me with that. It's only for you to go and find your way. So holding onto the faith. I'm going to read from Timothy because we're doing a studies are from 1 Timothy. I don't know if we're going to go into 2 Timothy, but that is the series in which... Oh, my days, John. Sorry, that's the crown of righteousness just gone. Put it back on there. John is my helper tonight. He's my... Yeah, okay. So, I'm following on from Neil. I'm reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus, this is my Latin coming into play now, Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. So the passage we're really going to drill down into tonight are fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience. Now, before I start, I just want to go into it and just put a little bit of background onto where we've ended up with this passage. And Timothy is a letter that was written by Paul to Timothy, who was in Ephesus at that point. Now, Paul and Timothy have been together quite a while. Paul came across Timothy, I think, in Lystra. And he became a Christian along with his mother at that time on Paul's first missionary journey. We're now about into missionary journey 4. And during that time, Timothy has accompanied Paul along the way on many of the trips. So Paul has been very instrumental in Timothy's walk, but Timothy has been alongside Paul. He's been there through a lot of evangelizing work, missionary work, setting up churches. He's been there when Paul has been suffering incredible persecution, and he's stuck with Paul all the way through. Paul spent about 3 years in Ephesus, building this church in Ephesus. And now he's left Timothy in Ephesus whilst he heads off to Macedonia, and he's left Timothy in charge because trouble is afoot. So Timothy's not now with Paul. Paul's gone off. Timothy's left to sort things out. And if we get 1 Timothy 1 verse 3 up, this is kind of explaining that. 1 Timothy 1 verse 3. As I urge you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turn to meaningless talk. So there we have it. Paul's gone, and he's urging Timothy, who's been left behind, to address this issue of false teaching that was going on. But Paul got delayed, and so he wrote this letter to Timothy. Now then, the content of this letter wouldn't have been anything new to Timothy. But what I think Paul was trying to do when we have this letter, I think he was trying to strengthen Timothy's hand. There were false teaching going on. Timothy was trying to build the structure of churches and hold on to it. And I think Paul was concerned about this church. So he wrote this letter for Timothy to give some weight behind Timothy. So that's the background to where we've come to here. But when I look at the letter and I look at Timothy in this situation, I begin to put my nurse's hat on, because I start looking in between the instructions and the exhortations, and I begin to see little personal entreaties that Paul is putting to Timothy that couldn't have been possibly meant for the wider congregation. And I think Paul's worried. Timothy meant a very big lot to Paul. He calls him my son, my dear son, my true son. They've been a long time together through the good times and the bad. Paul was incredibly fond of this guy, but I think Paul had begun to see or hear or think that Timothy was struggling in this situation. I don't think Timothy was a born leader. I think he was always alongside Paul when we see him in other situations. He's almost been left here as his envoy, and I think he was struggling. And I think if we put up the scriptures, you'll see why I'm beginning to think, this guy is struggling. So if we can have this next series of scriptures. We see in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. So, Timothy was young. Next scripture. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. From this scripture, I just wondered, was Timothy a little bit timid? He wasn't a natural powerhouse. He wasn't a Paul. Possibly, Paul's reminding him not to be timid. Next scripture. Moving into 2 Timothy now. When Paul left him, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy. Recalling your tears. I think Timothy was sensitive. And my last scripture, this is what Timothy puts in the last part of his letter. Stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. Okay, this is nurse here. Nurse here is hearing this one, as would GPs and doctors. Stop drinking only water. This guy's frequently ill. He's got stomach problems. And it just begins to say to me, was this guy seriously under stress? Was this guy finding it tough? We've seen these two guys, Hymenaeus and Alexander, they'd walked from the faith. Had this really, really got to Timothy? I don't know. I'm reading behind between the lines. But I think possibly Timothy was struggling here in this congregation with all these problems going on. And I think this letter was written to him as an encouragement to say, hold on to your faith. Hang in there. This is tough. Fan into flame, he says all the time. Fan into flame, feign those gifts that we prophesied over you at the beginning. Time and time and again through these letters, he says, remember the prophecies at the beginning of your ministry. Fan into flame. Do this. And there's lots of exhortations. And I just wonder, when Timothy got this letter, did he go, oh, phew, thanks, Paul, for such encouragement? Or did he go, No pressure, because I think Paul and Timothy are two completely different people, and I think Paul's approach, was it encouragement? I don't know. But I think it was meant to be encouraging. I think Timothy knew Paul, and I hope that he took it as an encouragement. But it's quite a hard piece of encouragement if that's what it's meant to be. So whether it's a few or whether it's a no pressure, we move on. But what I just wanted to spend 1 minute with on an aside here, as leaders of congregations like Timothy, he was young, possibly timid, possibly sensitive, ill at times. Leaders have it tough. They really, really have it tough. Now, in the 30 years that I have walked as a Christian, I have been in a number of churches, and I've served under a number of leaders, and I've seen ministers wander from the faith in many different ways, and it's horrid to watch. But leaders are under a lot of pressure. And I think leaders need our help, need our prayers, need our support, need us to do our job so that they don't burn out. And I see it so many times, not only in the church. I work in a GP's practice. Not many GPs and nurses are going past 60 these days because they get burnt out. They get sick to death of people complaining. So many people at the moment are moaning about our work, and they just get out, just burn out, gone. And the problems they leave behind is great. But I just think leaders have their, in a Christian sense, have got their head above the parapet. Satan has a good pot shot at them very frequently. They need us to get behind them. End of rant. Okay, finish that now. I'm going to move on. But Freddie, we love you. we're glad you're back. But leaders, there's different leaders, but they all need our prayers and our support and our help. Okay, so back to the passage then. Can I have the passage again? First passage. No, not that one. Back to the first one. Okay, so now I'm going to go back to fight the good fight, holding on to the faith, back to my remit, back to my key passage. Fighting the good fight. How I love that. So fight the good fight with all thy might. Fight the good fight. Holding on to faith and a good conscience. Fight the good fight. Do you think that's a battle? What's Paul's picture here? Does he take us into a war zone? Is he taking us here, fight the good fight in a war situation? I don't think so. I don't think that's the fight. I think you get the clue when you move on to Timothy. Can we get the next scripture? 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 to 8. And this is Paul speaking in 2 Timothy. At the end of his ministry, we think that he's in prison and possibly threatened with death. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. He fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And I think this is the picture that Paul really wants us to get hold of, to understand this fighting the good fights, this battling in a race to the finish line. Can I have that picture now? That's brilliant. Anybody recognize these two? Who are these two guys? No, come on. Say again. The Brownlee brothers, yeah. Now, what's special about these guys? What is special about the Brownlee brothers? Say again. than from Yorkshire. Well, that is absolutely spot on. Okay. What have they done? What have these two guys achieved? Come on. They run marathons, yes. They've got quite a few medals between them. They've got gold and silver in the Olympics. They're triathletes. Is this ringing true? Are we remembering? Brilliant, brilliant athletes, these guys. Brothers, train in Yorkshire. They've won everything in front of them. And this guy, that one, is the one who always wins the gold. And this one is the one who wins the silvers. But they always win gold and silvers, more or less, except once when he fell off his bike, I think. Didn't he fall off his bike? I don't know. He fell off his bike and he came in and got bronze in the end. But this is the most beautiful picture, because in this one race, that one, I can't remember what he's called. John Brownlee, had run far too fast. And his brother came around the corner, realized that his brother was in real trouble, really nearly collapsing. I mean, this has him upright, but he was really collapsing. And this guy picked him up and ran with him. It's just the most heartbreaking thing, well, a heart-lifting thing to watch. And he ran with him to the finish line. And then he just dumped him on the floor. But so this is where he was at. So the brother comes up and picks him up. And he didn't get disqualified for doing it. But I just think that was a beautiful picture of what Paul did possibly with Timothy and what we can do for our brothers and sisters when we're struggling. That's the finish line. We'll come back to that picture in the end. But it's just a lovely picture of encouragement when one comes around and carries somebody else to the finish line. Okay, so picture of a race. We're in a race, our Christian walk. We're in a race. We're pilgrims in a progress. We are on a journey. We made a start, we're heading somewhere. So what sort of race do you think this race is? Where, what would you say? What sort of race would you say it was? You're going to have to shout at me, because remember, I am very deaf. Okay. Flat race? Walking race? Say again. Obstacle race. Absolutely. I think it's an obstacle race. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody? It's a long distance race. Yes, I think we're in for a long haul, aren't we? Long distance race. Long distance obstacle race. Anybody else got any ideas? I'm thinking Grand National, actually. I'm thinking really tough race. And it's a long distance. And so we've got various parts. So think about a marathon, a triathlon. Long distance, lots of obstacles, where you need a lot to keep going. I'm thinking that's possibly the Christian race. And Paul's saying, I've got to the end of it. I'm getting to the end of it. But a lot of us are still walking a bit. And I in this race, you'd love people to be coaching you and telling you how to do it. How do we do this Christian race? Which, if you read on through Timothy, masses of encouragements. Now, I have worked as a practice nurse for 20 years. I've worked in the field of chronic disease management, and I've worked alongside people with chronic diseases. Notably, diabetes has been the one that I've majored on. And the thing with diabetes, that it's a battle. Because all the things that you like to do with eating cause problems if you've got diabetes. And so people come to me and I try to help them. And very often I get, well, tell me what to do, nurse. Tell me what to do. And I say, I can't. That's what the one thing I've learned in these 20 years. I can't tell you what to do. But you're going to have to do it, because you're going to have to get to the end of your life. And I want at the end of your life, you to have two legs on the end, 2 feet on the end of your legs. I want you to be seeing. I want your kidneys to be working. But to do that, we've got to do an awful lot of work and a lot of battling against the things you really don't want to do to get to that point. But to tell you how to do it will be different for every single person. And that's what I've learned over the 20 years. I don't tell people, you must do this, you must do that. I give them principles. I say, try and control your carbohydrates. I'm going to help you try your, keep your blood pressure under control, your cholesterol under control, and your sugars under control. And we'll try and get you to the end of that race with your legs intact. But I cannot say to one person the same thing I say to another. I say, I give you the principles. And then my job is to help you find your way. You've got to find your way. Because what your problem will be completely different to another. What will scupper you on your Christian journey will be completely different to something else. So we've got to work on principles and not the specifics. At this moment in time, what's scuppering my life, would you believe it? Is the tarmac company down the road has suddenly started pouring out diesel fumes. Where's that come from? It's absolutely killing me that my nice, beautiful rural property is now being swamped occasionally with diesel fumes. It's absolutely driving me bonkers. I have to really get to grips with it. So things come from different places. So this is where I want us all to join in and to get out of our seats, and we're going to make a race. Because the resources that we have are here with us. So, what I want you to do, we're going to make a race, okay? We've got, this is the central atrium of our race. It could be an obstacle race because we've got shipwrecks over on, going on. We've got shipwrecks going on. We've got to finish it. Could my trusty assistant help me? We've got a finishing line. Oh. And it's a, you can tell he does co-steering, don't you, and sets up Tyroleans. Look at this. Whoa, this is very good. We have a finishing line. We have a starting line at the back. Could somebody stand up with the starting line? Okay. And here we have John's version of a crown of righteousness. Okay, so we're going to make the Christian race, the Christian journey. So we've got the crown of righteousness, starting line, finishing line. So what I want people to do is I want you to gather in groups, okay? I want people who has just started the race, their Christian race, to gather. Is that 0 to 20 years at the back? 0 to 20? All right, okay. Could you... Well, no, that's going to be a race that's going around corners then, isn't it? We could have a cross-country... It's all right, we're having a cross-country race. We're having a cross-country race. So, okay, people in that corner who's 0 to 20 years. You've been Christians for 0 to 20 years, okay? People who've started their Christian walk and been going for 20 years, up to 20 years. In the middle here, 20 to 40, the 20 to 40-year-olds, so with the middle ages. Pardon? And over in this corner, in this part of the race, are the 40-pluses. So could you... If you don't want to join in, please don't feel you have to. But I, could you gather? Could you slowly make your way into the groups, please? 0 to 20s, 20 to 40s. Length. This is not your chronological age. This is the length you've been a Christian. Length of time that you've been a Christian. Length of time you've been a Christian. So we're the middle ages. Right, now then, are you all gathered in your... You just dropped my pen. What I want you to do, I want you to, in your group, write down the four most important things that you think will keep you holding the faith. Are you with me? You've got four words. You've got to condense it into four words or very short phrases of what you think is important to help others or help yourself keep on that race, holding the faith. Four things. And you need a spokesman and somebody to write them down. You've got 5 minutes. This is the how to reach this crown of righteousness. Are you good? The 0 to 20s are good. They've come in. They've come in. Are the Middle Ages? We're good? Are the long haulers here? Do you realize that you are our main resource? Because you've been at this race the longest. You've got the energy bars. You've passed a lot of obstacles. No. Have you all realized I'm behind the line? I shall come this side. Okay. Right. Can I have your spokespeople? Who's your 0 to 20s, who's your spokespeople? So, do you want to all sit down? So what have we got? This is going to be very interesting, this is. Joan? All you've got to do, all you have to do is hold it up. Right, so let's turn them round and let's start with the 0 to 20s. Okay? These are the principles of holding on to your faith. Is this read your Bible? Okay. So, holding on to your faith means holding on to your Bible, getting to know your Bible, yeah?
Yep.
Praying constantly. Stay in fellowship and accountability. That I can read that. And worship. Okay. Brilliant. Okay, the Middle Ages. In your Christian walk. Okay. I don't know if I can read your writing.
God's grace.
Okay, so that's what you would pass on as the key principles for...
We would, yeah.
Walking. As a group, understanding God's grace in your life, staying in fellowship, constant prayer, and knowing joy in the Lord. Okay? And the ones that are in it for the long haul, these are our, you know, we uphold... Because I'm a middle-ager. But these people are running the race. They've been in it a long time. They've seen a lot. They've come through a lot. They're eating their energy bars now. They're going, well, you're not going for the finishing line, but you've got a long way to go. But okay, let's go for it, Joan.
It starts with prayer.
Prayer.
The Bible.
Yeah. Endurance, okay. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because on all of them, fellowship comes. Prayer comes through them all. Joy comes in. Love comes in. Endurance, perseverance, encouragement, knowing your Bible, worshipping, prayers there and them all. That's just interesting, isn't it? Those are the things that you would pass on to say, that you would, how you would hold on to the faith. Thank you very much. I shall go past the finishing line to my crown. Right, just another. So let's pull it all in now. It's in Paul's letter on holding the faith. You will see all that. I encourage you to go and read 1 Timothy and read these principles for yourself. But at the end of the day, if you're in a race, two things. You've got to be proactive. You've got to be doing. And Paul is very much, when he speaks to Timothy, get doing. Do this, do that, do that, do that, the other. So he's being proactive, not standing still. And wanting to finish. With my patients who've got diabetes, the ones who I have most success, not I have most sex with, most people who do, who get to the end, are the ones who want to get there. And I think Paul encouraged Timothy to run that race, to be active in that race, do your bit in that race, keep running, you go forward to finish a race. And to not give up endurance. Get there. Have that desire to get to that crown of righteousness and not to shipwreck. Amen.